When I was 31, a moment occurred that crystallized the concern that drives this book. At the time, I was an assistant professor in the sociology department at the University of California, Berkeley, and the mother of a 3-month-old child. I wanted to nurse the baby and to continue to teach. Several arrangements were possible, but my solution was a pre-industrial one, to reintegrate the family into the workplace, which involved taking the baby, David, with me for office hours on the 4th floor of Barrows Hall. From 2 to 8 months, he was nearly the perfect guest. I made him a little box with blankets where he napped, which he did most of the time, and I brought along an infant seat from which he kept a close eye on keychains, colored notebooks, earrings, and glasses. Sometimes waiting students took him out into the hall and passed him around. He became a conversation piece with shy students, and some returned to see him rather than me. I put up a fictitious name on the appointment list every 4 hours and fed him alone. The baby's presence was like a Rorschach test for people entering my office. Older men, undergraduate women, and a few younger men seemed to like him and the idea of his being there. In the next office, there was a 74-year-old distinguished emeritus professor. It was our joke that he would stop by when he heard my son crying and say, shaking his head, "Beating the baby again, eh?" Textbook salesmen with briefcases and striped suits were generally shocked at the unprofessional gurgles and sometimes unprofessional odors from the box. Many graduate student women were put off, partly because babies were out of fashion in the early 1970s, and partly because they were afraid that I was deprofessionalizing myself, women in general, and, symbolically, them. I was afraid of that, too. Before having David, I saw students all the time, took every committee assignment, worked evenings and nights writing articles, and had, in this way, accumulated a certain amount of departmental tolerance. I was calling on that tolerance now, with the infant box, the gurgles, the disturbance to the dignity and sense of purpose of my department. My colleagues never seemed to talk about children. They talked to each other about research and about the department's ranking, still number 1 or slipping to number 2. I was just coming up for tenure, and it wasn't so easy to get. And I wanted, at the same time, to be as calm a mother for my son as my mother had been for me. In some literal way, I had brought together family and work, but in a more basic way, doing so only made the contradictions between the demands of baby and career all the more clear. One day, a male graduate student came early for his appointment. The baby had slept longer than usual and hadn't been hungry at my appointed Barrows Hall time. I invited the student in. Since we had never met before, he introduced himself with extreme deference. He seemed acquainted with my work and intellectual tastes in the field, and, perhaps responding to his deference, I behaved more formally than usual. He began tentatively to elaborate his interests in sociology and to broach the subject of my serving on his PhD orals committee. He had the task of explaining to me that he was a clever student, trustworthy and obedient, but that academic fields were not organized as he wanted to study them, and of asking me whether he could study the collected works of Karl Marx under the rubric of the sociology of work. In the course of this lengthy explanation, the baby began to cry. I slipped him a pacifier and continued to listen all the more intently. The student went on. The baby spat out the pacifier and began to wail. Trying to be casual, I began to feed him. At this point, he let out the strongest, most rebellious wail I had ever heard from this small person. The student uncrossed one leg, crossed the other, and held a polite smile, coughing a bit as he waited for this little crisis to pass. I excused myself and got up to walk back and forth with the baby to calm him down. I've never taken the baby here all day before, I remember saying. It's just an experiment. I have two children of my own, he replied. Only they live in Sweden. We're divorced, and I miss them a lot. We exchanged a human glance of mutual support, talked of our families more, and soon the baby calmed down.